Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity is out. Daniel Foster of National Review Online is in today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good news, bad news, crazy news as always. And Dan, yesterday, Rand Paul and Marco Rubio rocked the house at CPAC. And Mitch McConnell, not exactly quite as dynamic of a speaker, was at CPAC today. And he says he's now embracing Rand Paul. You may remember in the Kentucky Senate primary in 2010, he did not want Rand Paul at all. Now he's calling him one of the warriors that's necessary to bring this country back to where it needs to be. So could be that Mitch McConnell wants to fire up the conservative base since he's running for re-election next year. Or it could be, since we also saw him come down to the floor to embrace the Rand Paul filibuster, that he understands that he might not embrace the word establishment, but the more old guard Republicans need to understand the value and the leadership being provided by the likes of Paul and Rubio and Cruz and Lee, and getting alongside them rather than in confrontation with them, I think is a very good idea.
Absolutely. I think you're right about the self-interest of it and the re-election piece of it a little bit. And there's a little bit of what you just talked about. Now, I've always said, I've probably said it on this show before, I've written it a couple of times, that wherever Mitch McConnell is on a political issue is usually the correct place to be. It might not be the place that makes conservatives the most excited. It might not be the most hopeful place. But wherever he ends up on an issue, he's usually pretty politically shrewd. So if he's getting behind guys like Rand Paul, it's because he's made a, you know, calculation that those guys are in a position to help the Republican Party. But the third thing I think is going on, and I've said this about Senator Paul, is Mitch McConnell recognizes that Rand Paul is a very good politician. Yes, he's a true believer. You know, he brings a libertarian, a little foreign policy realist slash isolationist, some would say, streak to the Republican Party. But he's also very good at transactional politics, and he knows how to pick his battles, and he knows how to trade favors. And I mean that in the good way, not the underhanded way. And we've seen Rand Paul, you know, he's a much bigger ambassador to the establishment. He's a much bigger, you know, he's much more chummy than people think with the quote-unquote establishment Republicans. And it's not because he's underhanded. It's because he knows that to get things done in the Senate Republican Party, you need relationships. So I think maybe Mitch recognizes a fellow schmoozer in Rand Paul. And I don't mean that as an insult.
Well, we'll certainly see how actively Rand Paul helps McConnell the campaign trail. He's had very good things to say about McConnell all along. So I'm guessing he will help him, especially if Ashley Judd is the opponent. But regardless of who the opponent is, I'm sure he'll be there. On to martini number two now, and the bad martini. And Dan, we've seen with the Supreme Court case coming up on gay marriage, a lot of moderate to liberal Republicans signing briefs saying that they're in favor of gay marriage. Ohio Senator Rob Portman making news in the last 24 hours because he is now publicly in favor of it. And here's how he explains it to Dana Bash of CNN.
You know, I've come to the conclusion that for me personally, I think this is something that we should allow people to do, to get married and to have the joy and the stability of marriage that I've had for over 26 years. I want all three of my kids to have it, including our son, who is gay.
And so, Dan, there's a lot of arguments that I would like to throw in here, but I'll try to keep it relatively brief here. Obviously, there are spiritual and moral dimensions, but from the political and cultural aspect here, first of all, it seems like Republicans are going this way at their detriment, because I think that they believe that if they just flip-flop on this one issue, all these young people will suddenly vote for them. I don't think that's true. I think young people are also liberal to some extent on some other issues, and if this is still their big issue, they're going to probably still align themselves with the party that was out front on this, not the one that reluctantly came around when the poll numbers started to improve. And the last point I'll make is that if you thought that the pro-gay marriage side was nasty during the Chick-fil-A fight last year, if it becomes legal, there's going to be almost Sharia-type crackdowns on anybody who has anything negative to say about this cultural movement.
Well, I think, you know, if you leave beside the actual substance of the issue, I absolutely agree that this was bad politically. And the way that, you know, I think about who the most famous evolver on the topic of gay marriage is in Washington, and it's the President of the United States. And to be honest with you, the phrasing even of Senator Portman sounded exactly like President Obama. The difference, and you just hinted at it, between the two of them, is that Obama was given credit the entire time, you know, since he entered public, you know, service for being pro-gay marriage by most quarters of the left. They assumed that he was lying. I mean, people have written about this multiple times on the left. And so he got credit for being pro-gay marriage, even when he was going to black churches, even when he was talking about how he was personally against it. Marriage is between a man and a woman, traditional marriage. When he walked around sounding like, you know, the Heritage Foundation on this, people gave him credit for believing it. And so what you suggested, I think, is true, is that I don't think Republicans are going to get a lot of mileage politically out of flip-flopping on gay marriage. The other thing is, it's not like immigration, where you could flip-flop, do one bill, right, pass an amnesty or whatever, and then slowly retreat back into a more sensible immigration position. Gay marriage is a 30-year issue. It's a big culture war issue. It's not the kind of thing you can exploit for short-term political gain. I think this is a problematic move for Portman.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here and how the debate goes from here. Certainly how the Supreme Court rules on this will be a big factor, I'm sure. On to martini number three now, Dan, and away from the political scene, although you got to think politics are involved here, especially with a multi-million, if not billion-dollar lawsuit aimed at the NFL. The NFL owners will soon vote on a rule proposed by the NFL Competition Committee, which would penalize running backs for initiating contact with defenders with the front of their helmets in the open field. Apparently, it's be okay still at the line of scrimmage. Emmett Smith, the NFL's all-time leading rusher, says, I have no idea how this would work. Your whole purpose is, when you learn how to be a running back, is to get behind your shoulder pads, and that means leading essentially with your forehead. So it's going to essentially change how the game is played. And a lot of people, and I think rightly so, are calling this the increased pansification of the NFL by a commissioner who's just terrified of lawsuits.
Again, I'm ambivalent. There's certainly things you can do to make football safer. I always push for the counterintuitive conservative cause of eliminating helmets. You know, I mean, that's the thing people don't realize is if, you know, you cover these guys in a foot of body armor, it's increasing the probability that they're going to, you know, hit each other harder. But, you know, as far as leading with a helmet, this would have outlawed effectively the careers of some great power running backs. You'll never see their likes again. I have a friend who's a diehard Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. A guy like Mike Alstott essentially ran like a bowling ball. I always joke that he ran on all fours, essentially. So he is just a pure balance guy, a big, you know, bulky power running back. Had some nice, you know, cutback ability and stuff. He goes from being one of the top two or three fullback / running backs of all time to just being a guy who probably gets 2 or 3 yards on every carry, a short yardage guy. So, I mean, you really are changing the game in a pretty big way. You know, some of the defenseless receiver stuff I think is overblown. I could see a narrower version of it being, you know, sensible, the hits on defenseless receivers. But you're right. I mean, this is another step towards flag football. And so one of two things is going to happen, and neither of them are good for football fans. You're going to see the game evolve to the point where it's not the game you love, or you're going to see some of these lawsuits in this litigious society have an impact. And maybe, you know, there are people who have predicted, smart people, that the NFL might not exist in 10 or 15 years because of all these billion-dollar lawsuits coming down the pipe. So either way, I think bad news and certainly crazy news for football fans.
Yeah, definitely crazy. Yeah, and we'll see how far this goes. And the flags might not be too far behind, but well, how far will the viewers go? My guess is pretty far before they finally bolt. But Dan, have a great weekend. Thanks for filling in for Jim, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Daniel Foster of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Jim Garrity and me on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.